and we were a group of all Christians, and we were talking about spiritual things late at night. And that conversation came up around, how do we hear God's voice? How do we know God's plan for me? And there was a person there that was on that trip that said, well, I hear God's voice all the time. God speaks to me every day. He even tells me what clothes I need to wear when I wake up. This is true. Now, the rest of us were a bit bemused by this because we thought, oh, yeah, that's not our experience. And how do you really hear God like that? And is God actually interested in what clothes you wear each day? And how does all that work? Well, anyway, the next morning, this particular person who claimed to hear God's voice every day, including what clothes to wear, got up. And you've got to understand that the campsite was very dusty. And she got up and she was dressed completely in white. And one of the other friends that were with us said, I think God got it wrong today. Today's topic is, how do we know God's plan? How can we correctly hear his voice? And it's a very broad topic. It's a topic you could go in all sorts of directions on. And to help me have some focus, what I actually want to do as we unpack this topic is to look at it from the perspective of studying a particular character in the Bible. A person that could hear God's voice, demonstrated that he could hear God's voice. That person is David. David, who went on to become the king of Israel. But what I want to particularly focus on as we do a bit of a character study of David is focus on the time from when he was first anointed by Samuel to the time when he became king. It's a period of about 15 years of character forming, of demonstrating how David heard God's voice in different ways. He didn't always get it right, it's fair to say. But in that 15-year period of his life, there was a number of fundamental things from which I believe we can take five things today that help us to understand what God's plan for us is. The first point is to know God's plan, we need to know God's voice. To know God's plan, we need to know God's voice. David was known after a man after he was known as a man after God's own heart. He could only hear God because he knew God's voice. He desired God's presence. He was passionate about his relationship with God. He desired more than anything else to know God. And because he knew God, he could hear his voice. Find it fascinating how you can have a room full of mums or maybe dads, and next to them in another room is a group of kids playing, and one kid starts crying, and almost always the mum or the dad knows if it's their kid or not. To hear a voice clearly, you have to know the voice. When I walk outside at my house, we have chooks up in the back corner. And the chooks know that when I walk outside, often they'll get food. And so I walk out and I just have to say, hello girls. And they come, what do? They run? I don't know. They come to the gate. They know my voice. They don't actually do it for our kids. They sometimes do it for Kate. But because they know that there's a possibility of food, they know the voice. They follow it. John chapter 10 verse 4 talks about us as followers of Jesus being sheep and Jesus being the great shepherd. And that we know the shepherd because we know the voice of the shepherd because we know the shepherd. Like a sheep following a shepherd, like some chooks chasing some food, like some crying kids. When we know the person, we know the voice. What does it look like? How do we get to know God? How do we get to understand his plan? And it's not actually rocket science. And I could talk a whole lot about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to keep it brief. There's some basic spiritual disciplines that you can do that help you get to know God. And in getting to know God will help you understand his plan. You can pray. Commit time each day to praying. You can commit time each day to reading God's word, to studying it, to applying it. Maybe you can journal, write down what it is you think God is saying or what's happening in your life or what your relationship with God is like at the moment. You can reflect. You can do these basic spiritual disciplines. They will help you get to know God. And to hear God's voice, we need to know God well. Second thing we can do, second thing we need to put in place is to hear God's plan, we need to know ourselves. To hear God's plan, we need to know ourselves. King David, before he became king, he had two opportunities to kill King Saul. Saul was after David, was actually coming to torment him and to take his life. And you might remember the situation in a cave where David and his troops are hiding in a cave and Saul comes in looking for him. David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he knew himself and he knew his place in God that he refused to take the opportunity. He knew that God's plan did not require him to strive. It did not require him to manipulate or manufacture events to make it happen. You see, knowing yourself means knowing who you are in God. It means you don't have to strive. You don't have to force something to happen. Knowing yourself means that you have the confidence to wait for God's plan to unfold. Knowing yourself means you have the confidence to wait in God's plan, even if those around you don't. Before coming to Gisborne Church of Christ, and I've told this story before, but there's a period of about 2 years where I was seeking out God's plan for me, asking God, what is it that you have for me? Believing that God wanted me to become the minister of a church. And I even had a picture of what that church looked like. And over a period of 2 years, I had a number of different interviews or conversations with different organizations, different churches about whether that would be the right fit or not. There were times when I could easily say, no, this is not the right fit, it's not right. There were other times where I thought it was, and that particular church or organisation said, no, it's not right, it's not of God. But for two, what were for me, very long years of waiting, there were some doubters. There were some people that knew me, that were in my ear saying, you know, if it's been 2 years, maybe God doesn't want you to be a minister of a church. I can say now, 3.5 years into my role here at Gisborne Church of Christ, that I'm very glad I waited. Very glad that God's plan has unfolded in the way it has. And I look at this church and I look at myself and I think, there's somehow God has orchestrated something to happen where for me it feels like it's a hand in a glove. Now you may not have that experience and you might be thinking, I wish you'd go. But it feels like it's a hand in a glove for me. To know yourself really well, you need to know the Creator. You need to know He who made you. Third point, to hear God's voice, we need others that know us well. David had Jonathan, a great friend, a great supporter, especially during this 15-year period from his anointing to when he became king. Jonathan was Saul's son. He was actually the rightful heir to the throne. But he recognized that he was not God's anointed. He recognized that God had anointed David. So he kept supporting David. They were great friends. Jonathan had David's back. He warned David when there was impending danger, even when his father was trying to kill him. Jonathan encouraged David. He upheld him in times of despair. He watched his back. He gave wise counsel when it was required. When I was looking at Gisborne Church of Christ as a possible church and trying to understand what God's plan was, I had people praying for me. Good people. People that were speaking into the situation. People that are hearing God's voice and discerning and saying, yeah, this sounds like it really is the right fit for you. A little while ago, I had the opportunity to do that and be that person for someone else. My brother-in-law, Justin, was in a job which was a fine job and it was a good job, but there wasn't the full expression of his gifting in that job or the full expression of what God had for him in that job. It was only a partial expression. And there was a limit on how much Justin could do in that specific role. Things were outside his control. And my sister, Justin's wife, rang me up and said, can you pray this is what's unfolding. He's happy where he is, but there's this other situation, and it looks like he's going to get off at this job, and can you pray? And as Deb was telling me, and I was thinking, this is just so right. Because I know Justin. I know him well. And I know how God has made him. And I know this situation, this other job that he was going for. And I knew a bit about the organisation. And I could just see there's a fit there. And I said to Deb, I don't even know if I need to pray. I just have this strong sense that it is so right. I prayed. And he got the job. And he starts there in a couple of weeks' time. Having other trusted Christian friends is vital to understanding God's plan. Fourth point, to hear God's voice, you need to press into God and be patient. David had to wait 15 years from his anointing to when he officially became king. This idea of waiting is something that happens again and again in the Bible. It seems that God often has people, has us, in this waiting phase before the full expression of God's call is revealed. Sometimes we even know what it is that God wants us to do down the track, but we're the only ones that know and the only ones that yet recognize what that is. Joseph had to wait 13 years from when God first spoke to him in a dream until he became the prime minister of Egypt. God's message in a dream was that he would end up ruling over his brothers. But it was 13 years before it actually happened. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years, and before that he was a prince for 40 years. 80 years of waiting, 80 years of preparation before God's plan unfolded. And he led God's people, the Israelites, out of slavery into the promised land. Jesus was a carpenter for many years before he began his ministry at the age of 30. The Apostle Paul waited 13 years from his conversion until the acceptance by Peter and John that he was actually a minister of the gospel. You get the point. Usually when God's plan is unfolding, there is this period of waiting before the full expression of God's plan is realized. The waiting time is an opportunity to press into God. It's an opportunity to get to know him better. It's an opportunity to rely on him more. It's an opportunity to learn to be content in the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. For in the waiting, there is the building of godly character. There's the building of resilience. You see, knowing God's plan requires us to press into him and be patient. Fifth point, last point for today. To hear God's voice, you need to be open to the Holy Spirit. To hear God's voice, you need to be open to the Holy Spirit. David knew the empowering, and he knew that he had to rely on God's Spirit. He knew that relying upon God's Spirit would enable him to win battles. It would enable him to overcome opposition. It wasn't in his own strength that this happened, but through God's Spirit that battles were won. David desired God's presence with passion. He publicly worshipped God. You may remember when the ark returned into Jerusalem, and he danced like a crazy man, so much that his wife said, "You've embarrassed and humiliated yourself in front of all the people today." David said, "I do not care. I am going to worship God with passion. I am going to desire his presence. I want God's Spirit to be at work." Later in his life, in some of the darkest hours, dark days following the exposure of the sin that he had committed, sin of adultery and murder, in some of his darkest hours, he pleads to God, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and cast not your Holy Spirit from me." When David was exposed as a broken man, his primary desire was that God's presence would not be taken from him. I have a sense that for us as a church this year, God is going to take us on a journey. A journey of becoming more open to the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't really know what this looks like. It's just a sense that I have. My hope is that we would encounter God in a real way. My hope is that within us collectively there would be a desperation for God's Spirit to be at work that cannot be quenched, cannot be stopped. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will worship God with passion. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we won't care how we look in any other one's eyes apart from in God's sight. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be a desperate longing for God's presence in our lives. The filling of the Holy Spirit is central to understanding God's plan. If we want to know God's plan, we've got to know the maker of the plan. It's a journey that's marked with persistence and patience. But it's also a journey that involves the empowering and filling of the Holy Spirit. What we're going to do now, we're going to move into a time of coming around the Lord's table. And each Sunday in January, as a response to the message, we're going to take communion. The fact that the kids are with us for each Sunday in January allows us to do it this way as well. But we're going to take communion as a response to this message, and it's an opportunity to reflect on what's been spoken. It's an opportunity to respond to God as we take communion. See, the night before Jesus died, he gave us a promise. It was a great promise. He said, I'll be going, but in my place, I'll be sending to you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the one who reveals God's plan. And as we take communion today, may we be reminded afresh about Jesus. May we be reminded afresh what it is that he's done for us. That because he died on the cross, because he stretched out his arms in love, because he defeated death, we have the ability to experience forgiveness. That in our brokenness we can be restored. But not just that, we have the opportunity to experience life and all that life can offer us. The filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit is so important to that experience. Can we pray? And then I'll ask the communion stewards to come forward. Lord, I want to thank you for David and the character of David and for all that we can learn from him in what does it mean to understand God's plan in our own lives. And Lord, we thank you that you, when you went to the cross willingly to pay a cost that was rightfully ours, you didn't just leave us to our own devices. But in that time between then and a time to come when you return, you have sent to us the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the one in which who we can experience freedom, forgiveness, life, grace, the fullness of everything that it is you offer. Lord, I want to pray for us as a group this year that may it be a work that you do in amongst us of increasingly opening ourselves to you, to what your will is, what your plan is, to an experience and encounter of you that we cannot deny, that we cannot say, oh, that was a nice experience, and then go on with the rest of our lives. But Lord, an experience and encounter that is so transformative, so changing, we have an impact in the lives of those around us, in the family members who don't yet know your love, in our friends, in our neighbourhoods, in our communities, the people that don't know you, that are lost. May your Holy Spirit be so filling us that there is an impact that is made out of this church. I want to ask the communion stewards if they can come forward and start distributing the communion. And I just encourage you to keep this quiet, prayerful space to enter into what it is God is saying to you right now. Let's spend a few moments of time just reflecting. What is God saying to you?